From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. When I tell you about a documentary at Sundance that explores aliens from outer space visiting Earth, you're going to be suspicious, and of course you should be. But hold on a sec. The Danish filmmaker Michael Madsen has come up with this thought experiment. It's a scenario, a simulation. What would we do? What would we really do if an alien craft landed here? It just so happens there are people who think about this kind of thing all the time, and they're not the crackpots. The UN has an office for outer space affairs, and Madsen has convinced these people to play along with his scenario, and the result is mesmerizing and thought-provoking. Because an alien visit would raise some pretty big questions about them, but also about us. Madsen will join us to talk about his film. It's called The Visit, after the news.
Hi, this is Benjamin Bombard, one of the producers of Radio West. Our online audio and podcasts are made possible by KUER and its listeners. If you like Radio West, help us make it happen. You can donate $10 right now by texting KUER to 85944. That's KUER to 85944. And thanks.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Filmmaker Michael Madsen's thrilling and mesmerizing new film documents an event that has never taken place. It's built around a scenario or a thought experiment, whatever you want to call it. Imagine humankind's first encounter with intelligent life from space. What if an alien spacecraft actually landed somewhere here on Earth? And it's not really science fiction, not the way Madsen presents it, because he's interviewed people who not only think about this kind of thing, but in some cases have made an actual plan for it. And there's not one crackpot in the bunch, by the way. We're talking astrophysicists and psychologists, legal experts. There's even a theologian in the film, because there are a lot of questions to work out. Not just the obvious, like who are they and what do they want, but Madsen's simulation gets at who we are, how we're going to respond, and what that tells us about ourselves. The film is called The Visit, and it's in the World Cinema Documentary Competition of the Sundance Film Festival. Michael Madsen is joining us today as we broadcast from community radio station KPCW in Park City. Madsen's previous film, Into Eternity, was released in 2009. The Visit premiered on Sunday. There are three remaining screenings scheduled at the festival, and we'll give you the details about that a little bit later on the program. Michael Madsen, welcome to you. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
I guess I want to start by asking, what got you thinking about this scenario, this simulation? What was the idea that first came to you?
For me, this has been like an ancient question in my life, thinking about what would be the ultimate thing to happen to mankind. I've always come back to an encounter with life from elsewhere, because I think that will call everything, absolutely everything, into question. And I've been wanting to explore that question and ramifications. And I'm interested in how we think and how we understand reality. I'm interested in scientific thinking. I'm interested in the limits of scientific thinking, of what we can comprehend. And I think that perhaps the only thing to say for certain about such an encounter is that it would be beyond our comprehension in a way.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been trying to explore with The Visit.
I wonder, when you first established the scenario, I mean, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the program, but you had to get people on board.
Yeah.
And get people to kind of play along with it.
Yes.
And what's so fascinating about this, and we'll play a couple of examples of this a little bit later, people went all in. They absolutely went along.
Yes. All of them hesitated. But I started off with a contact in the United Nations Office for Outer Space Affairs.
Yeah.
Because I knew that if to gain the validity that I wanted for this film, because I wanted this film to be an actual drill. I mean, this should be, if this ever happens and you watch this film afterwards, you'll say, well, this was the manual, this was the instruction manual
right.
Just seen. So I knew I had to start with the UN. And it took me about a year to several meetings and to convince, it took 4 months just to get the first meeting.
Wow.
But I told them that, you know, this is not a UFO film. I'm not interested in that. Yes, it maybe a kind of modern folklore. It probably tells something about human aspirations and questions and attempts to explain things. Mm. But I'm interested in posing the question, what would this actually mean? And if this happens, the UN is the only international or pan-national body to respond on behalf of mankind. So I do believe this will land on your table, United Nations Office for Arms and Space Affairs. And they could see that. And actually, by chance, at the very first meeting with the director, the head of research section popped in, and he'd seen an obscure Swedish channel of my which showed my previous film Into Eternity. Huh. So he said, is it this Michael Madsen? I said, well, I'm afraid it is. Okay, then I know that this is a serious film, and this is something that he simply endorsed taking place in, taking part in, because for the UN and for all of the following expert who joined it, and nobody has said no, they all realized that this is the ultimate scenario. And yes, it may be that I, as the world's leading astrobiologist, Chris McKay, sits at NASA, thinks about fossilized bacteria on Mars, the possibility of that. I would even believe that would be possible to find. But of course, intelligent life is the ultimate scenario. So for the sake of the argument, I said to everybody, yes, it may be that it might be radio signals first and so on. It may be, of course, that we will draw attention to this Earth just by having this radio conversation, because it'll all travel out now.
Right.
But for the sake of the argument, let's try and talk about intelligent life and that it has arrived here, that it's a direct contact. It's not by radio with tens of thousands of years in between transmissions and so on, for example. And I think that for the experts, this was a tremendous relief in many ways, because they could let go of the problems that you also have in science in terms of that you need empirical evidence.
Right.
But as I told him, I'm interested in extrapolating from the known into the unknown. And yeah, that's what they enjoyed, I think.
Let me play a clip from the film. This gives people a sense of really what it's like, or at least you won't get a visual sense of it, which is something you have to encounter, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But you've asked these experts, of course, and we'll hear some of them here, to conceive of this possibility that an alien spacecraft has arrived, and you know, what would they ask them? What are the big sort of broad questions? You get specific as you go, but what would you want to know from them? Here's a clip from the film, The Visit.
May I ask a very direct question? I'm really interested to learn. How do you think? I'm sorry, I do not want to be nosy, but how is your mind constructed and composed?
Have you imagination? Have you the capacity to be outside the actual reality? Outside this time and this space?
Did you come here to learn about us? Did you come here knowing about our existence?
How long are you going to stay? Are there more of you? Where have you been before?
What makes you happy?
Do you know what is good and what is evil?
I wonder whether there's something about human beings that you see that we don't see about ourselves. And I also wonder whether there's something that we see that you don't.
Michael Madsen, what do you think those questions reveal about us? So many questions, obviously. Did you get a broader sense of just all the questions that we ask, what that says about us?
Yesterday, after the second screening here at Sundance, I was walking out from the theater, and by chance are walking next to somebody in the audience, a man about perhaps 65 years old, and he saw me. He said, "This is a mirror." And I was very happy for that, because this is how I thought about this film, and this was my ambition. So now I think that this whole trip was worthwhile in a way, because the point is that I'm interested in how do we understand ourselves as human beings? What's the nature of this reality? I'm interested in what documentary filmmaking is, and in particular can be. And for me, making films is a way of exploring reality. I'm not sort of topic-driven or impact-driven or character-driven in my films. And in particular, that question that Dr. Fasan in the film, who is 85 years old and who's lived through the space age and one of the authors of or founders of Metalaw, the idea that you can actually establish legal relationship with extraterrestrials, and that's needed because that would be the foundation also for treaties, I mean peace treaties basically. His question about how is your mind constructed and composed?
Yeah.
For me, that was very, very thrilling when I conducted that interview, which was, of course, also an improvisation, as all of the interviews are improvisations. I knew, of course, what these sort of different sort of branches of science, scientific thinking, what they all represent. But I told them all that you should imagine now that you are sitting with something from elsewhere. And what is your questions? And, of course, what do you think is important, perhaps even paramount, for this other entity to know about us human beings, to establish, of course, that crucial understanding that perhaps can or could bridge the gaps or divides that we have experienced on Earth, for example, when Europeans came to the New World where I'm sitting right now.
Well, which brings up Jacques Arnaud, a French theologian.
Yes.
You heard his voice there before.
Yeah.
So we hear from astrophysicists, we hear from legal experts. What did Jacques Arnaud have to bring to bear? I mean, because he does ask some very big questions in the film. The idea of a theologian or someone who's talking about ethics.
Yes, it's clear that any such encounter would hold also religious implications. The worst thing actually could happen would be that if somebody came and you would ask them, well, do you have gods? And this entity would say, well, we used to. But the interesting thing about having a theologian is, of course, these religious implications and what this would the impact on our belief system, so to say, which, of course, I would say is a way of handling the unknown. It's a way of navigating in a perhaps also a reality in flux and so on. But the interesting thing about the historical parallel to the discoveries of the Americas is what Arnaud covers. And at that time, when Europeans came to these latitudes, there were, of course, creatures that looked like human beings. And if you read the historical accounts, as I've done, the eyewitness accounts, Amerigo Vespucci, for example, he talks about the rational beings because, and this is, of course, very strange to understand today, but it's very important to try to understand that at that time, it was not certain that this was human beings living here.
Were they rational? Did they have a consciousness?
They were rational because it was possible to determine that they have a language, which you know, animals do not have to the same extent, at least.
Yeah.
But did they have a soul?
Right.
Were they a creature of God? Were they created in God's image as well? And that's, of course, the whole problem about thinking about, from a theological perspective, thinking about lives from elsewhere. Can it also be created in the image of God? And indeed, could Christ, if you're a Christian, could Christ also have, you know, sacrificed himself for another world? These are tremendous theological implications. But what's interesting about this is, I think, that at the same time, historically speaking, when Europeans discovered that the world was bigger than thought, which, of course, is always interesting, perhaps even stimulating, it was the same time when, you know, telescopes were developed and other planets were discovered. And this led to the discussion, of course, well, if there are other planets, perhaps there can also be life there. And some people in this time, you know, were burned for that consideration. But some people would say that this also introduced a new way of thinking for human beings, that of a plurality of worlds, that there could be more worlds. And of course, the visit is all about trying to get into those questions and to try to understand such an encounter beyond the, you can say, popular imagination scenarios, very much fueled, of course, by Hollywood films and so on, where it's an invasion and so on, which, of course, is a reflection of our own colonial experiences and so on. But what would be the actual implications? And this is also why the film, you can say, slides from these initial questions. What do you want?
Right.
Why have you come? And where do you come from? And are there more of you? To what is a human being?
Well, it gets to like the very nature of life itself. And, you know, you ask this big question. If, as you speaking to this you know, alien representative, if you truly are alien, is it even possible for me to really understand you? Because we conceive of life in a very particular way. And there's a terrific NASA scientist on the film, Chris McKay, who talks about how we've evolved. We have a certain biochemical way of we've evolved. So how am I supposed to – what am I supposed to make of you as a creature? Do you – have you evolved in the same way? Are you a threat? Even your very biochemistry, is that a threat to us?
Yes.
Should we build up a barrier?
Yeah.
What does it mean? Is your life the same as my life?
Yes. He says, for example, which I think is very interesting, he says, you know, he's asked in the film if life is blind to anything but survival. He says, yes. In our experience, life just lives to live. There are no sort of higher purpose and so on. And also the Planetary Protection Officer, Chris Rommel, he talks about that, yes, I'm sitting here in front of you. What you should be aware of is that 50% of my body is outside of my conscious control. It's other entities living in me or on me. It's bacteria. So this, you can say, this destabilization of the self on a, you can say, concrete bodily level to, of course, a philosophical level. That's the movement that I was intrigued by in discovering, but also, of course, following. It was a little bit like peeling an onion when making this film. There seems to be no core when it comes to what is a human being. And that, in a way, is threatening, but perhaps it also holds the potential for new interpretations, which would be the inevitable result of a contact, I believe.
Let me play a clip from Chris McKay from NASA. This question comes up, would they have a consciousness, I guess, or because we're presuming, I guess we would presume they would be, we would hope anyway, they would be good.
The problem is to presume something that is beyond the image of a human being.
Right, right. And that gets to another idea of what would the inside of a spacecraft even look like. But let me play this clip from Chris McKay because he raises this question that I think is so intriguing. There are problems when we see ourselves as being different. Let me play this clip. This is from the film The Visit. This is Chris McKay from NASA.
We're not blind. It doesn't mean we always make the right decisions, though. We see, but we still don't necessarily understand. Whereas other life forms don't even see. When a dog kills a baby, this is why there's no moral culpability. Because it doesn't see. Whereas a human does see. And that is a big distinction. We definitely see.
What's he getting at there?
He's getting at the question of, you can say, human cognition and responsibility in terms of behaving in this world, self-understanding, self-reflection, the ability to, you can say, think beyond just being alive. There's another instance in the film where there is, you can say, the cast in the film a little bit reluctantly, you know, lifts the curtain of that, yes, there has been something, you know, there has been wars, and sometimes we fight, where this, you can say, with the self-image in a way crackles a little bit. There are some cracks in it because they, I think they feel it's important to be honest towards this entity. That's, you know, it'll take you the longest way in the end. And there's also this thing that, yes, we sometimes go to war, but I hope that your morality is more advanced than ours.
Than ours, yeah. Well, it's interesting what you mean by that, and I wanted to explain this. You mentioned the Voyager program where we included in this, and now it's just passed beyond the solar system.
It's just left our solar system, yeah. Which is the first thing. But the thing is that this is a real attempt of establishing contact.
Yeah, there were these we included language and greetings and images and music.
All the nice things.
All the nice – and this is the thing that your film points out. And there was this big conversation. Do we also tell these – do we also include the fact that we fought wars, that
yes.
we killed each other?
Yes.
And we decided to leave that out.
Yeah.
This was in 1977.
Yes. And this has been much debated, as is talked about in the film. But it's the same problem, I suppose, you encounter when I meet a stranger on the street. Am I going to be completely honest about myself? Am I actually capable of being that? How? Because that's, you know, can say any first encounter in a way takes place on Earth. And we do know that understanding perhaps is a very scarce resource on this planet. And the people who were putting together the Voyager record and so on, they knew that. And they decided to make a shortcut. Also, perhaps because there are those advocating for not sending anything out at all, because there might be somebody out there lurking who wants to do us harm. You just don't know. But all of these things, they are, of course, first and foremost, and can only be human reflections, human considerations, of course, human experiences. And it may be completely different.
Yeah. Michael Madsen is with us. He's the director of the film The Visit, which is part of the Sundance Film Festival's World Cinema Documentary Competition. The film is scheduled for several screenings this week, both at venues in Park City and at the Tower Theater in Salt Lake City. You can get details on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. We'll take a quick break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we are talking with Danish filmmaker Michael Madsen, who has a documentary at Sundance this year where he creates a scenario, like a thought experiment. What if an alien spacecraft landed here on Earth? And it just so happens there are experts and institutions thinking about and preparing for such an event. These are legitimate institutions, and the film explores the questions that would come from such a visit. Why did they come? What are they like? But also the big question, what would we do? How would we react? The film is called The Visit, and we'll give you details about screenings. There are still a number of screenings left at Sundance. We're broadcasting live from community radio station KPCW. Michael Madsen is joining us here. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about the conversations you had with the people that you interviewed. And I want to play a clip from Chris Welch. He's an engineer with the International Space University. And his part in the film is so remarkable because it's almost as if he goes into a trance. It's almost as if you've hypnotized him, because what you're asking him is, okay, Chris, imagine that you are suiting up and going into this spacecraft. You'll be the first human to enter this spacecraft. Let me play a clip from the film The Visit.
I'm preparing to approach and possibly enter the alien landing craft. In order to do this, I have to wear a self-contained suit so that there's no danger of biological or chemical contamination. So I'm preparing all the different pieces of equipment. Whatever happens to me, the important thing is that the information gets back to the outside world.
Now I'm setting off from the forward base. It's been set up a kilometer from the landing craft. periodically, every 50 meters, to check communications are still working back to the forward base, and to take images and to record readings from the various instruments. This is a little psychologically overwhelming. I have to stay focused on what I'm doing. I mustn't stop and think too much about some of the implications of it. Makes me wonder exactly what I'm maybe facing here.
Such an amazing scene, because as we see, you can't visually see him. You'll cut back and forth between these simulations where you're seeing him, a person in a suit, but then you're seeing Chris himself. Mm. We're back to reality. We're back to the fact that and he's just sitting there with his eyes closed. I mean, how do you describe what he was going through? It was trance-like almost, at least to me it seemed.
It was perhaps also to some extent that what happened. And to some extent, this is what happened, I think, in parts of all of the interviews, that these people, they reached out, in a way, into themselves, in terms of what would this mean to me? And with Chris, in a way, he had the most difficult part, because, imagine that you enter this craft. And what do you see? And yes, of course, all of us can imagine that you would probably wear some kind of protection suit, and that you would have a radio, and that you might have a photography, a camera, and so on. But what do you see?
Yeah.
And what was magnificent, I think, in his approach is that he deals with this fundamental question of being able at all to understand or comprehend anything of what he would see. So he has a suspicion that perhaps what I'm seeing is a construct only created for me to understand something about. Perhaps it's just a reflection of something human for me to understand, because the craft may be of a completely different nature, but beyond my comprehension. And this is, of course, this is where I personally think that I move into the terrain of the unknown, which is my interest behind this film, and stretch into that domain. And this was very, very interesting to make this interview with Chris, because it. The problem for making, science fiction has, as a genre, it's very, very interesting, because the best science fiction is negotiating the nature of reality. That's the raison d'être for science fiction. But the problem is that, yes, what you're describing or attempting to approach is alien. But it can't be too alien beyond human understanding. But that would actually be probably the most truthful expression of it. And I talked with the crew about this film. I said, well, this is the film that an alien, this documentary, would take back to their own world, hopefully creating an intergalactic blockbuster there, probably not here. But this is really what I'm trying to do. But if you follow that thought, it might be a film you wouldn't be able to understand at all. But the idea is interesting and it's informative, and I think it's very, very important to realize when trying to craft a film like this.
This is very strange. It's human construction, or appears to be, but in this context that seems impossible or very likely. I know there's the possibility that what I'm seeing may not be real. Some sort of creation designed to provide something familiar. But it's a very strange sensation that something more human seems more unreal than the alien did.
This is the first time I've started to doubt what I'm seeing.
Let's talk about some of the other questions that people are struggling with. There's a really fascinating section where we see Paul Beaver, who's a British military and public relations analyst.
Yes.
He's terrific in the film. And we also see him with Lord Michael Bryson.
Boyce.
Lord Boyce, and who is in the Admiralty. I mean, he's a high ranking.
He is the former Chief of Defense Staff, the highest ranking military official in the UK.
Extraordinary that you got him to participate in that. But then we also hear from Vicky Sheriff, and we're going to hear her in a clip here in a moment. But they're really working out the details of, okay, so let's put the existential stuff aside for just a moment.
Mm.
How would it work?
Yeah.
What would we tell the public?
Yes.
How much do we dare tell the public? Talk about that part of the film.
These people are, I think, extremely interesting because of their knowledge and their positions. Vicky Sheriff has been a Downing Street 10 spokesperson for 10 years. And these people are sitting deep inside the machine room, has been sitting deep inside the machine room of, you know, the British State Administration. In the interview, for example, they discussed, should we actually send a Trident nuclear-armed submarine at full speed towards where this might have, you know, landed? And when they have these discussions, I mean, this is not included in the film, but this is in the interview that we conducted, that's because these people, they have the whole state apparatus as a toolbox, and they can pick anything they want from that toolbox. And the fascinating thing, the scary thing, and what I admire from having done these interviews with these people is that they know this toolbox intimately, they're ready to use it, and they are very conscious about the consequences. And what was surprising to me in talking with them, exploring what this would mean in terms of the public, was the extent to which they fear actual panic breaking out.
Yeah.
Deriving from the simple fact that something has arrived, and as is the case in the film, there is no clear intentions sort of marked out. It's unclear where this has come from and the intentions, etc.
And what are we supposed to do?
Exactly. So the deliberations about what do we tell the public, how do we appear to be in control while doing something, although we don't know what this is and so on. This is extremely interesting because you could also ask, why at all pose such a scenario for this film? What's it really about? And in my mind, the most interesting thing about the visit is an exploration about what happens if Western human beings find themselves in what I believe to be the most alien position of all, that of uncertainty, that of not knowing what's in this world now. There is something concretely alien that shows a dead angle in Western human self-understanding, and it has consequences, which the film also explores.
Well, it's so interesting because what we're seeing is Vicky Sheriff, for example. Mm. There are moments when she's sitting there with Paul Beaver and they're interacting. They're working it out. Mm. They're talking about, all right, what should we say? What's the thing that we would draft, you know, to tell the public? Would there be a press release? And, you know, Paul will be talking and we'll be seeing Vicky. This one of our producers pointed this out this morning, and she is really working it out in her mind. How are we going to do this? And it's really intriguing. Here's another clip from the visit. Again, Paul Beaver and Vicky Sheriff.
I would advise it to be political, no military, and no uniforms. And you'd have a notable figure a scientist that everyone sort of believes. You probably actually have Sir David Attenborough, because he's a person everybody trusts, and he knows about wildlife, and he knows about, he's been everywhere.
You can't tell people not to panic, because that's exactly what...
Can you tell them to stand by their televisions and radios for further announcement?
I think, listen for further advice.
Yeah.
Do you have a sense of whether we'd panic, whether we'd freak out?
I'm afraid this would be the case because these people, they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, they have been, dealing with, natural catastrophes and, airplanes gone astray over UK territory, shooting down airplanes and authorizing those kind of things. So this is a real thing. And I think the when they sit and deliberate how to do these things, I think it's a very fascinating glimpse into actual discussions as they would actually occur.
You say in the film that scientific understanding has led us to believe that we're capable of understanding everything. That if we just could work it out, we could in fact master it. But this seems like a big theme in the film, the idea that we're threatened by the unknown.
Mm.
And what happens when we encounter something that we just can't control?
Yes. That's a dead angle, I think, in modern Western civilization. And I think it comes from, as I always say, since the Renaissance and since, the advent of scientific thinking, we do live in a world that we do believe is quantifiable. And behind that quantifiability, I believe there is a wish for a desire to control. And perhaps I'm just romantic, but perhaps it's not desirable to have control in all aspects of life. Perhaps that's even a mistake to believe that's possible.
You say that we want to understand our world in order to control it, but your presence, as you put it, speaking to the alien, your presence sparks our greatest fear,
the
fear of losing control.
Yes.
And this question is always there in the film. Mm. What happens if we do become afraid? It goes back to panic. Mm. It goes back to do we arm ourselves? Do we rush to do something stupid?
Mm.
And you don't really answer that question, but you certainly raise it.
There is one character in the film who, and this is Chris Wells, who enters the craft. He has an interesting, and this is again an improvisation, this is just him trying to perform what he would actually do. He feels a sense of loss when he comes to the impression that now his journey through the craft is ending. He's afraid that he might lose something once again facing humanity. And I believe the reason why he says this is that he has somewhat given himself over to this otherness that he experiences inside the craft, but not perceiving it as a threat. Chagano, who the theologian, he also talks about that in historical terms that, I can decide, as happened, the people in America would decide they have a soul. Okay, so they are part of God's creation and so on. But he talks about that I can decide to be human with you, and you can decide to be human with me. So he's also aware that the deepest implication of such an encounter, and perhaps the most gratifying implication, would be some sort of exchange where I would be giving you something, but I would also be receiving something. And that receiving something would also mean that I would be changed. And he's ready to do that. And that is, of course, some would say, a very high price to take, that I should change myself if you come here. Others would say, there is no other price I would rather pay, because what that will give me is immense.
Michael Madsen is with us. He directed The Visit. It's part of the Sundance Film Festival's World Cinema Documentary Competition. The film is still scheduled for several screenings this week in venues in Park City and at the Tower Theater in Salt Lake City. You can get details on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. We'll take another quick break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio, back now with the Danish film director Michael Madsen. We're talking about his film The Visit, part of the Sundance Film Festival's World Cinema Documentary Competition. There are a few screenings left anyway at the festival. We'll give you details about that as we go along. We're broadcasting today from community public radio station KPCW in Park City. So I wanted to ask you a little bit more about Dr. Ernst Fossen, mm-hmm. this legal expert in the film. He's mm-hmm. terrific as well. Because you raised the question, which you talked a little bit about before, is this idea of what would the laws be like? And Dr. Fossen, of course, has worked all of this through. But he also adds into this not just a legal dimension, but there's also that moral question that he poses. Let me play this clip. This is Ernst Fossen from the film The Visit.
To make an example, it is prohibited to harm the other one. Every race has a right for its own living space. Everyone will have the right to self-defense in case of being attacked. I have a moral question. If one of our races needs help, this help, of course, costs the helper, but it is a moral obligation, according to our human thinking, to help another one if possible. And we hope that this moral obligation will be in your minds also.
Talk a little bit about that, if you would. I mean, there's that legal dimension, there's that moral dimension. What's he getting at, Dr. Fossen?
Dr. Fossen is a child of the space age. He's old enough to have lived through it all. Also through the heyday in the 60s and 70s, where, you know, progress was a kind of, you know, a kind of inevitable, you know, natural law, really, and that the final frontier was conquered and so on. And also when films like Close Encounter and so on, it was very much in popular animation. It's something that would be inevitable and it would happen just tomorrow, this contact. What's interesting about him is that he draws back to historical philosophers such as Kant, who has also been thinking about the implications of a meeting with something non-human. The problem about human laws in terms of extraterrestrials is that they only apply to humans. So even though I'm sure that if an extraterrestrial landed here on American soil, there would be a lot of lawsuits against this particular entity, you would not be able to claim it because this is not a human being. But leaving that aside, what's fascinating is that his thinking is logical. It is that because you're intelligent, because you want to survive, you also understand that we want to survive, and therefore we can have a peace agreement. Mm. But then he adds that I have a moral question. Will you help us as we would like to, as we do here on Earth, or not? And the thing is that logical systems, which is in many ways how laws are, you know, constructed, has nothing to do with morality. So maybe they have a completely different morality that just says that anything that lives, which is not like us, we should eat. So that's his fear, and that's the dead angle in his system, and he's aware of that, and that's why he slips in this question.
One of the big questions comes up. What if the alien that these people are talking to in the film, what if the alien asked a question? And it's the most basic question ever, you know. What is a human being?
Yes.
And how would we respond? I mean, you know, on one hand, we're really the outcome of this complicated biological evolutionary process. But then are we something else? Mm. Talk about this part of the film.
What these scientists say in the film is that, well, first of all, they find it difficult to respond to that particular question, I have to say.
Yeah.
As I would do, I suppose. But they say something interesting, which is that Yes, we do understand today that a human being is more than the result, or is the result of a biological evolution. But it's also more than that, because we have something called culture. We created something which is human culture, something that's unique even to whatever you may bring here. Only we have that, our way of understanding and so on, our sensibilities. But they also admit that culture, looking at human history, with civilizations coming and going, flourishing and withering away, the Roman Empire and so on, that this thing that we pride ourselves in, the one thing that distinguishes us from all other life forms known hitherto, is also the least stable. And that's a curious... it must have been a curious information to receive if arriving at another planet, finding a life form, I'd say.
I wonder... one of the questions that also comes up, and I wondered if what you thought about, you know, not a lot is said about this, but how would the media cover this?
Yes.
What would they say? What effect would that have on, and on the anxiety level of the world, which is, as Cheryl Bishop, one of the characters in the story, says, is going to go off the charts.
Yes, yes. It is mentioned that, you know, Paul Beaver says that, you know, we need information because some media will call this an invasion and they will use very, very harsh terms and so on. And, of course, they're afraid that this will just spin out of control. And that's why that what the military proposes is to create a perimeter around this craft and to control all communication. And... It throughout the interviews, it was discussed whether I'd have a complete lockdown of all communication. But that's impossible nowadays, at least in the Western world. You may be able to do it in certain states and so on, but this would go viral around the world instantly. Yeah. And the reason why the United Nations Office for Outer Space Affairs actually came to my attention, which is the point where I realized I can actually make a film about this, is because I think it's now 5 years ago, actually on the dates where the film had its premiere here at Sundance, 5 years ago, there was the first major symposium, scientific symposium on life in outer space, the implications on human society at the Royal Society in London, which is the old world's oldest scientific institution. At this three-day symposium, the director of the United Nations Office of Outer Space Affairs attended. And a journalist tried to get an interview with her, but it didn't work out. So this journalist made up this story that she was to be appointed an alien ambassador. And this story went around the world instantly. The day after, it was a hoax that was being told, because the UN had to counter that and say, this is actually not true. But it went viral. And it has something to do with this longing or this fascination that I think everybody has on Earth. So if this happens, there will be absolutely no way of controlling it in this day and age. And that's what they are afraid about, the authorities. And for good reasons, I believe.
There's this, towards the end of the film, you ask, this question comes up anyway, this really difficult question that you sort of add into the scenario. What happens if they don't say a word?
Mm.
What if they don't answer? What if the answer isn't satisfactory? I mean, would things unwind? Would people use weapons? What would happen if they didn't respond in a way that we could understand or that we found satisfactory? We don't have a lot of time left, but would you talk about that part too? Because that was a very baffling part, I think, would be very baffling if they didn't react, if they didn't respond.
Again, it's this aspect of uncertainty, of not knowing why and what's the intention and so on.
Yeah.
That would probably be like a ticking time bomb. And as is also talked about in the film, you know, some nations would be prone to take matters into their own hand and simply, as I say, try to force some answers out of you. And the public might also demand it.
Yeah.
It may be a public demand which has nothing to do with how leaderships would prefer to act. And this is, I think, we can see all over the world that sometimes, you know, there some actions are taken just to satisfy public demands, although they may, in fact, escalate things. But again, it's this luring uncertainty that creeps in.
Let me ask you this finally. People are really wistful at the end of the film with the prospect of them leaving. What happens if they come? There's all this commotion. There are all these big questions. We're all wondering. And then what happens if they leave? As Cheryl Bishop says, would we be depressed? Would we feel alone again? Let me ask you that finally. What do you think? What does that say about the way about what you were getting at here, that part of the film?
Everybody wants to be recognized, I suppose. And the worst thing, of course, is perhaps not, you know, if life from elsewhere would come here on Earth. The worst thing would perhaps be to discover that we are, in fact, alone, that we are a pure accident. It's just a coincidence. There is no purpose. There is nothing. We are at the same level of others, of stars, and we're just dust that happens to move around for a short flicker of time with some kind of consciousness, but there is no purpose beyond anything. That will be the worst thing, perhaps, to experience. But to have somebody coming here and leaving again, yes, what would that tell us?
Michael Madsen, he directed The Visit, the film in the Sundance World Cinema Documentary Competition. It's screening tomorrow night at 10 o'clock in Park City, at midnight at the Tower Theater on Friday, and Saturday morning at 11:30 here again in Park City. We have all the details on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. Michael Madsen, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
Radio West, a production of KUER News, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.